All right, what is up, everybody? Zombies here again, and today we're back with another episode of the Fighting Pit Podcast, episode number 29. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Mullahu. How you doing, Mullahu?
Good. It's just me this time, and not Wizard Beast. Something happened in IRL Wizard Beast Town, so we're taking places trading this time. But it'll be good.
Yeah. Good to have you back with us here, and we got some interesting stuff to talk about this week. We have the upcoming C'Thun event, which will be starting, I believe, this coming Tuesday. I think the 14th it is, or something like that, around that point. And that will be our final Old God. We're going to talk a little bit about the things you might want to do to prepare for that, if you haven't given it a look already, as well as some stuff about the release cadence and whatnot, changes with that that have been positive, changes with that that have been less than positive, and maybe some things we would like to see for the future, as well as taking a look at the most recent tier list with Finley and talking a bit about that. So, should be a lot of fun. Before we get on into it, if you enjoy the show, do remember to like, subscribe, share, do all the social media stuff. Really helps us out and helps support the show. So yeah, C'Thun event, that is coming very soon. We did just get Finley as the reward track mercenary, and now they did a little, they always seem to do a little teaser of it in the patch notes, and then usually later that day the tasks get data mined, but this one mentioned dragons and protectors. So on top of that, I'll run through the bounties here just to give you an idea of what areas you want to have accessible for this event. There will also be a link in the description if you want to take a look at the list yourself. But we have the Ravek bounty in Alterac Valley, Acolyte of N'Zoth in Darkshore, Lewis Phillips in Alterac Valley, then Onyxia bounty in Onyxia's Lair, Heroic Terran Zoo in the Sunken City, Heroic Zeril in the Sunken City, Heroic Secret Cow bounty in the Barrens, Heroic Undead Onyxia bounty in Onyxia's Lair. So those are the different locations that you'll want to have unlocked to complete this. They did make that change a little while ago, so if you're a newer player, once you get, I think, to the end of Winter Spring, you basically unlock all the other locations, so you don't have to actually beat through every single other location, especially Blackrock, because I know Blackrock can kind of be a pain sometimes. Yeah, like I remember when it came out on launch, it's funny looking back at the difficulty, because there are some fights that are just so surprisingly difficult. And I think Alterac Valley heroics were like the peak of that, where the regular fights were so strong that you would often lose stuff before the boss, and the boss would be relatively strong too. So, but since then, it seems the difficulty has come down quite a bit. And luckily, most of the Alterac Valley ones for this event looks like are normal. Just, I think, one or two on heroics. But there are normal ones there as well, and as usual, you'll get the C'Thun Mercenary for completing this, as well as a regular portrait and the diamond portrait if you do all 10 tasks. You also get some coins along the way for C'Thun and some other relevant and recent characters like N'Zoth and some of the dragons they want you to have for this event, like Deathwing, Nefarian, Longjin, and so on. So, some recommendations for building up to this event. Highly recommend getting together a budget dragon comp. So a lot of the good dragons are rares, whether that be Nefarian or Yulon. They're two of the best dragons in the game, and Sinestra as well, all rares. So you just get those three together, you already have pretty solid comp there for completing some of these ones that require you having a bunch of dragons. And then if you happen to get some of the legendary dragons, Longjin is definitely the best, but Deathwing might also be good for this, because there is a bounty where you have to do all protectors, so that could be helpful there, but looks relatively easier. We've talked about this before. They definitely made the events a bit easier, which I think is great because it's a good way to help get new people into the mode.
And it's like, you're really doing it for... I mean, honestly, I'm still kind of surprised that they haven't... Maybe they will eventually transition the events to just dump coins for whoever the event guy is. It feels... Mm-hmm. I remember doing some of the old ones too, and it was just like, why am I getting these coins, man? Like, it's for when you're really trying to do it only for C'Thun, right? Everyone is doing that event only if they care about C'Thun, to the mm-hmm. point where if you don't care about C'Thun, you'll literally not do them. So yeah. I wonder if they'll ever try to consider a kind of like, okay, if you want to do this, here's actually enough coins to kind of like make it playable. And so that you can just even use it when you're done with it. Because by the time you finish it, you still didn't have to go grind it. And it sometimes feels like those excess coins might have just gone to the waste bin again until we mm-hmm. get the excess coins change. But that's definitely a little minor change that I honestly feel like we haven't really talked about yet that I would personally like to see, where just make it one huge funnel of coins where it feels mm-hmm. like this game already struggles with some reward systems and kind of getting that positive feedback going. Just dump coins to a useful amount on one character, please. That's what I'd be begging for. But like you said, still good. And the Diamond Portraits are cool. We're finishing out the old gods bounties in this way, though we were talking about that we're still missing two of them in the actual bounties themselves. Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen new bounties in a while.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. So I do agree with you, by the way. It would be great if pretty much all the coins are focused at this one mercenary. It has been a little bit nicer recently because they added, even though we didn't get a new bounty, they updated one of the Sunken City bounties to have Finley and C'Thun coins.
Oh, that's juicy.
So I was farming for Finley, and I'm convinced after talking with a number of other players that there is definitely some kind of bug going on in like a positive way for the coins, because normally legendary coins are usually a little bit more rare, and this bounty, so it's Finley, Zajara, and C'Thun. So C'Thun's the only legendary there, but I swear, and I've had almost everyone else who's done this bounty have a similar experience, you get so many more C'Thun coins even on just normal. Mm. Like, it feels like the vast majority of the runs you're getting at least 1 to 2 stacks of the C'Thun coins. And it tracks, because I looked at it and I'd only gained like 300 or 400 Finley coins, and I looked at the C'Thun coins and it was over 1,000.
Huh. Like, I wonder if it could be coded within the game as like it's being overwritten as a legendary instead as a
maybe
event character kind of thing. And so it's not checking it as a legendary first, or maybe because it's not out yet, right? If it goes to like check the game, what rarity is this? Give them that one. And it goes, maybe. Oh, it's not there yet. Here you go. Okay, so we got a couple days then, 3 days maybe, of farming this of this bounty, as you're suggesting here, right?
And people have already been farming it too, because we've been farming it since, and even shortly before Finley released, because mm-hmm. it came with the 0.0 patch a week before Finley.
Right, because it's had the Zajara one. Right.
So some people had enough coins where they could just max out Finley on day one, and...
That's awesome.
I'm getting close to that point with C'Thun, because when you combine his regular tasks with the coins from his event task, you really only need like 1,200 or something, I think. So okay. I already have over 1,000. So it's very like it accumulated so quickly. I felt like, because it's a very easy and pretty fast bounty, especially with the fire team. So it's kind of nice that we haven't had. Really a way to do this before, where you can like farm up the upcoming character before release, but it's been really nice.
This is great. I mean, in a way, this is the solution to the thing I was just talking about. Like, I really want to overcome that hurdle of like, okay, you want to decide to play this character, okay, good luck, go grind them, okay, now you have them, you still can't play them, right? That mm-hmm. feeling is yet one of the long list of like odd feelings in this game, but at least there is some kind of way to get around it like this. And a 2-for-1, right? You're getting the Finley. It sucks that Zajara, whoever the third like useless Naga is part mm-hmm. of that pile. But that's fine. You take a 2 out of 3 all day like that for two like good, playable, interesting characters. So that's good. That's good.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting, though. Like, speaking of PvE content, it definitely feels like with the release cadence change to mercenaries, PvE has definitely, it feels like it's taken a little bit of a backseat for the time being. Like before, when we got the, I think it was the N'Zoth event, was the one that gave us the first bounty in Darkshore. And that was like a really cool thing, I thought, where they kind of introduced an area early and it coincided with the event, because obviously we needed a way to get the coins for the character. And so that was really neat. But more recently, they like didn't do that with like Yogg didn't get his own kind of area or bounty. Nope. And like Mulhu mentioned, we've only fought two of the old gods in the actual PvE content. So, and
they both came out with the Asharj one, right?
Yeah. So,
so maybe the next he came two out, will come out with the Cthune.
Yeah, he came out. So he came out like right after the big drop. So the big drop happened, and then he dropped like the following week, I believe.
Right.
So they just put his coins in there. Or I think they might have updated.
Because I think they also had the N'Zoth. Like, the N'Zoth and Yasharj coins came together in the same bounty area, I think, right? Not the exact same bounty, but, like, in the same zone.
So now they're waiting.
Oh, were they?
I think they were different. But I think N'Zoth had them in multiple zones, because I think you had N'Zoth in the Darkshore, but then you also had the boss N'Zoth, which gave N'Zoth coins, and that was in Sunken City. So it's a little bit of both with him, but I think they had to update one of the late Sunken City bounties to give the Yasharaj coins, because they were, you couldn't farm them ahead of time. You could get them in packs, but I don't think he was in a bounty yet. And they updated that, I think, shortly after he came out, so there was a way to farm him up, which was good. But we got Yogg recently. And Yogg did not get his own little teaser area like we got for N'Zoth. And I know Old Guardian put out a video recently talking about the content cycle for mercenaries and how it's not the most optimal in its current form. And I think I definitely agree with that. I think they've made progress on... Like, it was cool at launch how everything worked and how it was constantly changing, and you're getting new content monthly, which is really, really sweet. But a lot of players felt like they couldn't realistically keep up with that grind, and this was back when the grind was worse as well.
Yeah.
So it took way longer, and by the time people got their characters up, new characters were already coming out, and it was just a perpetual cycle of people feeling like they were behind and they didn't really get to experience the game for themselves. The only way you got to really experience at least the PvP was kind of by watching the handful of other people who did do the grind, basically. And there were definitely some pros to that cycle, but there are cons as well. And I think it's better in the way it is right now, because more people feel like they have more time to grind out their characters and then actually get to play with them while they're still relevant and to the new forming meta in PvP. It's also really nice having a big drop, because it makes it more like a big expansion where a lot of new things are viable and people are trying all this weird stuff, and experimentation is a lot of fun with that. But I think the biggest issue is that it's just a little bit too spread out for the current cycle of basically three big mercs drops a year, or over a 12-month period, basically, and some smaller stuff in between. Like, they haven't exactly done monthly events, but they've been pretty close to monthly events. I think they're, like, one-off of like, doing one for every month since February. So, pretty decent there. But I do think if they want to keep a three-time-a-year cycle, I think they could really use something to liven it up a little bit more in between, whether that's just giving an extra mercenary or two in that in-between time for more stuff to grind and try out, or adding a bit more PvE content. Just something for players to do, because it's a long period of time waiting 4 months between things. And even when the meta is relatively good and no one comp is like insanely oppressing everything else, eventually people just want to try new stuff.
Yeah. And, or just want to have something to actually feel like it's worth doing, worth trying. Like the fact that we have to, in theory, we have another 2 months almost to the day of no, or what, of three new mercenaries essentially, right? However many of the extra, like C'Thun and two more event mercenaries or something. Like that will functionally not change anything in terms of the meta, especially when C'Thun is already expected to just go into a pre-existing archetype essentially. There just really isn't much change. If anything, it seems like we went from 12 instances of new mercs all the way down to just three or four, and maybe the sweet spot is six, right? Like maybe it's every other month. Maybe we just do 10 new mercs on both a mini set and a regular expansion. And then that might be the kind of the right porridge temperature. Because yeah, I agree with you. I think this feels too far and few between, especially because the ones that are bricks are going to stay bricks, right? Like some of the bad Naga, you got to rework them to make them good enough, or they just really won't take many people's eyes. So it's as if we have a whole expansion of just 10 cards. If you only like some of those or can only play some of those, you have a couple. And now, again, where's the drive to really kind of either compete, or let alone the ladder stuff or the bot stuff, or let alone grind? Forget about there not being new bounties and stuff. So again, in this permanent, eternal state of limit testing that this game seems to be in, I think we made a good push. I think this huge drop was a blast, right? It was really cool to have 20 guys all of a sudden. But I think maybe every other month might just be the best way to do it.
Yeah, I could get behind that, honestly. I think monthly was probably just a bit too fast, and I'm sure that also made pushing it out monthly a little bit harder, though I have to imagine they have a crazy stockpile of mercenaries given.
Exactly, right? Just start ripping them, right? Especially where in this game, if you don't care about the new guys, you just don't really end up playing mercenaries very much, at least like in my experience, or just in general, the way the game is designed. It's not like even Standard or Battlegrounds is a great example, honestly, right? Where you can just be like, oh, don't really care, but I can still just queue up and feel like I'm exploring a system that has more for me to get better at. But here it kind of feels like you can either play your Pokemon or you can't. And if you can't, you don't have a great thing to progress your own skill at. And I think that was something we were talking about a little bit before the show. We talked about on other shows before, of this game really needs a way to have a skill expressive PvE game mode. The current game mode for PvE is not skill expressive, right? You don't get to feel as if your time is worth your growth. Now it just feels like your time is worth your coin expansion, but we need something to actually make us care about getting better. And with that game is this current game state lacks that, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a really important thing to bring up, and it applies to both PvE and PvP because, like you said, PvE is still in kind of a lackluster state where, I mean, yeah, it can definitely be fun, especially if you're a newer player and you're a bit more limited on the characters you have, because the progression to that can be fun. But there's no like high-end skill expression where, like, I was talking to Mulhu about this before the show, but I was looking at some other roguelikes, and I've really enjoyed the roguelike genre. And part of the fun of that is, eventually, like, you're just basically going at it, and you're either progressing your character or the game, or you're just seeing how much better you can get at it and how long you can survive or beat it. And you have interesting choices each time where it doesn't feel like things are playing out the same. And that's why those games are so replayable, even if you beat them. And I feel like Mercenaries really kind of lacks that, and that's what we're kind of hoping for in the end game. And maybe that's why PvE content has taken a bit of a back seat in the recent months, because maybe they're putting their resources that they normally devote to that into the end game, since that is obviously all PvE focused from our understanding. So maybe they're just putting all that into the end game, so when we do finally get that, it can actually deliver on an experience that makes me want to play PvE, even if I have all the characters maxed out. Like, we've talked about it many times before, but there's got to be a reason for you to, for if in your character collecting and leveling game, you have to have a reason to use your characters in PvE once you get them all. Like, that's a big goal of the game, And right now it's just, okay, well, now you can go play PvP unhindered, and that's about it. And unless you just really enjoy the PvE, but you're not getting rewarded for anything because you're just getting extra coins, yeah, maybe those will be useful in the future, but we still don't know what their new system for that is going to entail. So I'm not really judging that too much until we actually see how it works, but I have over 500,000 extra coins. Like,
and that doubled, like, yeah, again, I think I've said this before, but I remember you quoting that number when it was around 200K, mm-hmm. and then it very quickly ballooned after the result of them kind of giving us some better mechanisms and more fun mechanisms to grind, like a bunch of
yeah.
people. Yeah, I mean, you are just waiting. And but again, even if you just suddenly can max out all your characters, they are, but even if you could...
Still doesn't fully fix the problem,
what's
right?
What's it going to be? Yeah.
Because I'll still be sitting on however many 100,000 coins. Like, there's no way the conversion's going to be so bad they're going to balance it around me. Right? Yeah. Like, that's like balancing around the 0.1%.
The extreme, yeah. You should, if anything, be the ceiling where you, like, get to just hit the, like, disenchant all button, essentially.
Yeah.
And just fully gear out. Because, right, we haven't really talked about this a ton either, but in terms of a prediction of the scaling system of whatever this PvE endgame might be, mm-hmm. the natural guess is something along the lines of gear, right? Where you can actually, like, get... Like, I've been dabbling in Genshin a little bit more mm-hmm. recently, too, to itch some of the, like, grinder vibe. But the fact that there's, like, gear becomes an important... I mean, it's a hallmark of the WoW experience, right? Of the yeah. of the Blizzard experience, of the Diablo grinder experience, the WoW grinder experience. To get gear for your cool guys, that's the reason, that's the payoff to do better in PvE. But at the moment, it doesn't feel like your mistakes or your good decisions in PvE matter whatsoever. And you kind of want to get gear to make that part easier, but then you still have to be good. Neither of those are here still. So mm-hmm. even if we get gear and you can just crank all your excess coins straight into having your whatever you want, your Jiraxis that has full legendaries across whatever mm-hmm. his set of gear can be. Okay, that's now what still, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know what it's going to be. And it, yet again, is another last straw saving grace that has to get pulled out. But
yeah, it's that kind of mystery thing of we have no idea. We know they have to come up with some other kind of reward because even fixing excess coins and making them convertible and stuff, it still is kind of limiting when coins are your main currency of the game. That you don't have something else to do with them. And it sounds like, yeah, you can dump them into the PvE endgame to do something like you said, where maybe you're blinging out these PvE items to improve your character. But again, there's got to be a reason for that, right? Like, you're not just doing that for the sake of doing it. You're doing it so you can progress further in the endgame because presumably there will be something that is desirable there. There's something that makes you want to push for that level 40 in the end game or something. So you get this really cool reward, but we have no idea what a reward like that could be because it just there's been no kind of really hint at what else they could introduce. There's a long laundry list of different ideas they could have as a reward. We've talked about some before where yeah, you could do a skin or something, but I think even doing a skin isn't fully,
I don't know.
It's not enough because not everyone cares about cosmetics, right? Like, some people are fully content to have just their base regular mercenaries, like in regular Hearthstone. Some people will go out of their way not to use gold cards because they just like the regular card aesthetic. And so you can't have a cosmetic be the kind of end game reward. There's got to be something else there, but that it's just a big question mark right now because presumably it could also interact with the end game system. Or, I mean, maybe you can get better equipment to progress further, but again, there still has to be something else there. Otherwise, it's just kind of a repetitive loop, right? But maybe they go for that.
Repetitive loops, like, yeah, I mean, that's definitely a thing. Like, 100%, that
like
is
Diablo,
like,
you know?
A huge grinder set, yeah, where mm-hmm. like getting your sick guy all the way leveled up and then blinging them out, that's an incentive, like 100%.
Yeah.
And again, I'm definitely speaking from like a biased perspective where for me, the fun in a lot of the games that I play is the idea that, okay, here's a system that has a relatively tight boundary to it, but, and like the outline is clear, but everything within it even playing it multiple times, I realize that I'm making mistakes and I can get better, that there's still more to find, that there's still more to try, that there's still more to kind of experience or literally like explore or just improve at. And what Mercenaries doesn't ever feel like you're getting better, like as the player. PvP did an amazing job of that, I think, in some of its best PvP seasons, where it is like, yeah, it's five head as hell, and you really have to be in there, and you do feel like you get better as a player. But now with power creep, you're just getting one shot on certain turns. You're just getting, you just roll the bad matchup, and it doesn't feel like you had much agency in the fight. If you weren't playing with a deck tracker, you can't play on mobile, and you just get bodied. And like, just again, I'm personally just looking for something that, like, literally just Battlegrounds, where you queue up, you don't have to worry about it, but you know you knew X much yesterday, and you're going to be able to either put those to practice today, or you're going to be able to try out a different thing today, or be able to kind of just improve your own skill level, knowing that you'll never reach the ceiling. But it's that grind, I think, that is at the heart of a lot of Blizzard games and a heart of a lot of good, awesome games that a lot of people love, that Mercenaries maybe lacks the most. And so that's really what I'm hoping for. We don't really need gear. We need a system that is fun for that other branch of people to get us just willing to play. Because if you just don't play and you don't care, then you just pick another game. And Mercenaries is not even second on the list of the Hearthstone tiers of categories of games that seem to have interest at the moment. So it's easy to lose people.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I think they, and we've talked about this before, I think they're definitely in the camp of they're keeping a lot of the information stuff about the mode pretty quiet. And
player base size and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and also because they don't really, like, it doesn't make sense to push it in current form. If they, especially if they know they're going to be improvements.
It's
going to
be so much better soon, like, we're just going to wait.
Because, yeah, there's a lot more risk to pushing it while it's in this state versus when there's something actually to do when you have all your characters maxed out. And it sounds like that's the specific goal of the end game is, hey, you have all these max characters. Well, now here's something to do with them if you don't care for PvP or if you just want something else to do, which would be great. I really do think something like the Diablo Rift system is a fantastic way to do it. And you mentioned gear, like you could progress your gear and maybe the further you go, you unlock more difficulties, but it also scales the reward. They just have to figure out what that question mark is of a reward for people to strive for. And gear could be part of it, but there has to be something bigger that really like makes people want to do it to kind of make that grind satisfying. And they also should make sure that it doesn't just feel like PvE in its current form. In PvE in its current form, I feel like most of the difficult fights weren't actually super difficult in terms of like challenging.
Yeah, mechanically or
it was
like
just
that,
like some of the characters like were ridiculously overtuned and you had to kind of high roll with some treasures or have like fully maxed characters and the right specific characters to beat. And it didn't really feel as much like
like you're being rewarded for your decisions.
Yeah.
Like,
especially not like in PvP.
You just get to the end and go like, oh, I needed to take that guy, I guess.
It's like, all right, well, I just
lost. For me, I guess, yeah.
Now I have to
go and play that other guy.
10-minute bounty again. Yeah. And just
and
to
now,
get the
now
boss.
You made the correct decision of realizing your mistake at the end. And then you go back and you do it. And you made the one change that you needed to make. And then you finish it. And
that's it.
Nothing, and it's done. You don't feel better as a player. You don't feel like you learned anything that is now applicable to another. Maybe that's a whole big part of it too, right? Is this idea of like, are the lessons you're learning actually applicable again tomorrow? PvE, that does not happen. You either memorize the fight because it's PvE and it's just fixed and it's just that bounty, or it's PvP and you're learning the meta and that's great and that's cool and that's definitely, again, that's why we've been vouching for like PvP is the best part of this game, is because that's the only space it feels like where when you learn a lesson, it actually translates to tomorrow. And I think whether gamers know it or not, that's a huge part of playing games as and of this like positive emotion kind of feedback system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's very interesting. And I think that's why a lot of the more PvP focused people have been so drawn to it, because it is fun seeing that constant discovery and learning. And I've said this before, but like almost like nobody, like not even like 1% of the player base plays the game perfectly the vast majority of the time. It just doesn't happen. It's incredibly hard to do.
And it's hard to even practice doing because there are only there's so much variance that's out of your hands, or so many matchups that are so volatile that you almost can't practice very well to play perfectly.
Yeah, because you can't just say, all right, I want to test this matchup, unless you have like a specific practice partner or something. You can't just say, all right, I want to test this matchup for Shadow and then go queue up. And then, well, what if you just don't run into Shadow? Like, I mean, it's great you get a test for his other stuff, but sometimes if you want to do that like targeted testing, it's hard to do that. And I think one thing, and I saw some people on the Discord talking about it, that's an interesting concept, is at some point, they're going to hit a critical mass where I think they're going to have to make another format. I don't think they're going to do a standard wild mercenary split or something like that, because that doesn't really suit this kind of game. I think it would be foolish to just say, hey, all mercenaries that are over 2 years old are no longer playable in this format. It just doesn't really, I don't think that's really going to work for a mode like this, especially with how much time people put into collecting and leveling their characters. Sure. Like, if you thought some people were mad about rotation when it first came about, like, people would lose their minds if if they rotated mercenaries.
Yeah, oh my God, that's so funny.
But the thing about it is they could add a different way to play, a different format, still be PvP. But I mean, the dream for me would be something like draft. But
That is it. I after everything that you guys have been testing and that we've even talked about and stuff, it definitely feels like the potential easy home run.
Mm-hmm. And it's like one that the majority of the player base, I'm sure, doesn't even know about as like an option, because it's really only the super dedicated PvP people that have been tuning in to play or to watch the drafts. And it's just so crazy how, and I've played a lot of mercenaries. Like, my whole thing is structured around the game mode, and some of the most fun I've ever had playing the game is in those drafts. That's and like, the decision making is really fun on its own, because it gives you that rewarding loop where I feel like I'm learning each time, and it's a different kind of experience because there are already 100 mercenaries basically. So there are so many that no two drafts have really been alike, even though we've done like 4 or 5 of them at this point. They have all felt very different. And I don't think they would get a system quite like we have it, but if we look at what Hearthstone already has available in-game as like tech-wise, like they have the whole arena thing. Like, how hard would it be to
copy-paste that shit in there, and it is done.
Pick 3 mercenaries, boom, this one's on your team. Like, it would be, you probably couldn't work a ban into it or something, but you know what, that's okay. It'd still be better than nothing.
And that would be exactly that system, right, where it's like Battlegrounds or like Arena. And
you don't need to own them. Like,
you can just pick it up and play. And obviously, this would be the best way to give you the character that's automatically leveled up. You don't have to grind them. So it's not your own personal guy. It's just a random one with a random skin or whatever. And so you get baited by picking the diamond one, even though it isn't even the best pick or whatever. Cool diamond one. And then, and now you actually get to, like Battlegrounds, run it back, get a hero selection, learn how to play that guy a little bit, and then go, oh, okay, now I've gotten better at this one. I can draft it again next time and make improvements. And now we have that system that allows you to actually feel like your decisions matter and that you're learning parts of an ever exposed, like slowly expanding little jungle of information. Like that is truly what this game needs. And draft is the perfect spot for it. Then you give us a tournament mode and it's over.
Tournament mode, maybe one day. But draft would be so cool, because it would also be a great on-ramp with auto-scaling, because let's say someone wants to try out Mercenaries PvP, but they're not really interested in PvE or haven't heard great things about it, and they just want to try out the PvP, but they don't want to put in tens of hours of grinding just to try it. No. Like, boom, there you go, draft. They can try it out. You just pick some Mercenaries. I mean, you might get totally stomped, but that happens in regular Arena too. But at least you get to like try the characters without having to actually invest a crazy amount of time or money into just obtaining them and making them playable, much less figuring out like a good comp for them. And this is just, you're just picking and you're running with it. And I think it would just be a huge, and then people could enjoy, if they enjoy the gameplay, they could be like, oh, you know, I actually want to try out making my own dedicated team for PvP. And then, well, I have to go do the PvE. So they go do that. It's like, it's an on-ramp for more PvP-focused players, which you got to imagine they want, because Hearthstone is traditionally a very PvP-focused game.
Yeah, imagine if you could like actually choose, again, now you can start working in incentives to actually get that kind of like discover your rewards thing. Like, imagine if you actually get coins for someone that was on your team from the draft, and now you get to start to level up. Like, okay, you finish your run essentially, or like your limited run with that deck, you get 12 games, right? Mm-hmm. And you go 9-3 with it, and you get your rewards that are certain bounty or certain like packages of coins for the guys that were in your team. Now grinders start to kind of make actual decisions of like, ooh, I actually don't have this character maxed out yet. They're not the greatest in Arena, but I'll try to hard carry them by picking some of my mains and these other picks or whatever, and try to just funnel coins for them. And that little sub challenge gets in there. I mean, obviously the sky's the limit, but that, God, it seems so easy to do in this game mode. And I almost hope that they don't mix it into the PvE endgame. I hope that they don't take drafting and make that the core of the PvE part. That would feel as if
it might be the death sentence
for getting draft competitively.
No, yeah, I don't think they would want to mix draft with the endgame, because the endgame seems more about using the characters you've already put all this time into, whereas draft,
like
the opposite. But I would love to see something kind of like Duels has, where they have a totally free mode. Obviously, you do still need the cards in Duels, but even with that, they do have a mode where you can just, hey, I'm going to click the button and I'm going to play the game. Or they also have the Heroic Duels, where you can pay that gold or a small entry fee, but then you're actually playing for rewards.
Right.
And that would be sick to see a draft mode that kind of emulates that, where you could do casual draft or whatever, where you just, you get to pick your stuff, but you don't actually, you're not competing like for rewards. Anything. You're just playing to play. Exactly. Yeah. And then you could have a heroic version where that's where the people who are really interested in draft mode and who want to farm some rewards, they're going to try hard and get some wins with some good draft decks. And that, like, we've seen in draft, just, and even to a lesser extent in Pauper, the gameplay is so much more dynamic and interesting in these formats.
Almost how it's supposed to be, in a way.
Yeah, it how really is. Like, it's we're seeing different characters all the time. We're seeing interactions that, even if you played hundreds of games on ladder, have never come up before. And those are the moments that are the most exciting and interesting, I think. And especially even just as someone who is casting some of this stuff, it's just, you're kind of on the edge of your seat, because you don't know how this is going to go. There's no real precedent, because every game feels more unique.
Yeah, Mercenaries really seems like it was just an exhibition of that mantra of like, your game players are your QA testers. Mm-hmm. And Mercenaries was just such a huge, seeming like ratio difference of people working on the game, like the hours spent on the game, almost, again, no BM to like, I don't know the actual numbers, but in terms of like what the people did with the math and the testing that was very obviously capable of being done like right away, but the devs did not have that much time. They couldn't do what we were going to do. And the community just descended upon this game and instantly leapt us into the future. We need that like super randomness in some kind of way to actually, if anything, just give the devs like a break, like actually let us like back off and struggle with something like Battlegrounds or like Duels or something like that, where give us as much time as you want, the players still won't solve it. At this point, the players are solving basically everything.
Yeah, and even if it's not fully solved, it ends up being solved enough in current environment where it feels like in PvE, there's a lack of, a lot of the reason people like PvE is like the puzzle aspect, where you're like solving a strategy, but that's kind of been overcome with the fact that Fire Comp does almost everything, so you don't even really need much strategy. Yeah.
Every chess table. Yeah.
And you could go out of your way to do something a little bit more fun, but if you're one of these like hardcore grinders, you have that little voice in the back of your head saying, this isn't what's efficient. You're wasting some time. And it's still fun to do it with less efficient stuff, but in a game like this, it's pretty much just rewarding you for efficiency instead of like trying something different. And that's where I feel like it's kind of hard to balance, but there's got to be some way where they can implement mechanics that make PvE more challenging and interesting, where you have to think about those decisions like you do in PvP. Because it's always been night and day for the most part, with like a few rare exceptions, like some of the old event tasks. I think it was for one of them for Chiji or Leroy. One of them was heroic Localar, and it was I forget what the requirement was, but it was ridiculously difficult. I remember it took me like 4 or 5 tries, and I watched Dallas do it on stream, and it took him like way more tries than I can count. Like, yeah. And he got so close so many times, but like, it didn't really feel, it felt like more punishing than interesting, because
it's so long to get back there.
Yeah, it takes forever to get back there, and some of the times it was RNG influencing things, and this was back when you didn't default win the speed ties in PvE, so it was a little bit harder because of that. Again, I think that was a great change that makes PvE a bit easier. But I think it's also makes it simpler to understand, and it removes a unfun RNG element of nobody was happy when they lost a character in PvE on the run-up to the boss because their 5 speed outsped your 3-5 speeds or your 2-5 speeds. It's like, well, I couldn't do anything to play around that. Guess I'm just screwed. And it's not fun.
No, and especially when you really think about it in terms of even things like the Greater Rift style and some of these other like Slay the Spire style games, where your decisions, your opening moves, I feel like change more frequently throughout the course of a run, and Mercenaries doesn't have that to it. Your opening moves are, again, they kind of say like, oh, you look at the board and you're like, oh, there's 3 greens here. I can't just lead with my triple blue that this comp was kind of supposed to be. But for the most part, your opening plays kind of stay the same regardless of what treasures you get, regardless of what the comp looks like across the table from you. So like, I think that needs to somehow get fixed, or again, is some kind of odd death knell that Mercenaries has built into it, where many characters have one button on their opener, and that makes it very easy. Whereas even just in something like Slay the Spire, or where you're like shuffling a deck, or you just even have like in Diablo or something where you have movement, right? They have like multiple axes to work with in terms of what the game looks like in each deeper iteration and step and level of your PvE mode. Mercenaries, by nature of these like cards that have activated abilities to them, it's pretty stifling. So again, I have no idea how they would fix it. It's not like you could do random abilities. It's not like you can have 10 different mercenaries. It's not like you can really drastically change the way that they work. I think it's got to be something kind of we haven't seen yet.
I think one potential answer for that, and I think part of the reason for this is balance, right? Like, cooldowns are very needed for balance in Mercenaries, because we've seen the difference between 1 cooldown and 0 cooldown on some very powerful abilities, and it totally changes a character. And I think one thing that they could and should add, and I believe it has been kind of pitched in some of their internal designs, but they, if I recall correctly, they haven't been able to find a wording they like for it yet. But we've seen this on a few equipments, but it would be sick if you could bake it into an ability starting off of cooldown for a skill.
Oh, yeah.
Because
that seems inevitable, right?
Part of the reason why things are so limited, especially in PvE, is because you throw out your characters, and sometimes they literally have one button. The other two are cooldown abilities, so you do not have a choice. Like, you're using that skill one every time. And maybe that's okay for some designs, but you don't want that for, like, the overwhelming amount of majority of your characters. And I think it also adds, like, interesting depth to the plays you can make in PvP as well, because Long Jin's a great example of this because she actually has an equipment like this where your swap starts off of cooldown. And so you can just swap on turn one, and that adds a bunch of mind games, but it's still balancing the ability because it still does have that one cooldown. You can't use it turn one and then turn two. And I think that's important, but I would love to see more characters that have abilities like that, but don't require an item to enable it. Just find a way, give it haste, find a short text that fits in there that just starts off cooldown is probably a little long given the size of their boxes. But it would just be so good, and it would open up a lot of interesting design space for characters that I think would make both PB and PvP more interesting.
Yeah, and then maybe that's something that the gear does, right? Where it gives you access to these like abilities with charges, basically, where it has like, I mean, it's actually kind of like the, they literally just put it in standard, the locations, right? Where they come into play, they have a finite number of charges, it starts off cooldown, and it goes on cooldown when you use it. It's like they literally actually just did it in standard. So the precedent is actually there for mercenaries. That seems very, again, it doesn't have to be a location. It could be like Pokemon style arena kind of thing, but you could make it a piece of gear, right? You could literally that fourth little button that shows up when you have to show what your treasure is for when you have, you get celestial alignment when you're Guff or whatever, doing the random bounty. And that fourth button is there. You could make that into something that is a starts off cooldown and you can use it twice and it has one cooldown or something like that. That I like that idea. I think, the choice that we need is it's about options, right? It's about the limited number of options in PvE, or at least the perceived lack of options in PvE. So it's got to be something to mix up what your choices are when you're not against like a true opponent.
Yeah, something to help out with that would definitely do a lot for the mode. It feels like it's definitely missing that kind of thing, and it would be a huge boon, and I think would make it more appealing to a lot more of the general player base. Like, I think there's still a lot of work to be done when it comes to kind of winning over the general larger Hearthstone player base, especially after the Rocky launch. And obviously we want that to happen because we want to see the mode succeed and thrive and evolve and everything. So these are important things to think about because it's not impossible to make PvE fun. There's a lot of ways they could do it without terribly altering insane amounts of the core gameplay. But it's just a question of, is that what they want to do with the mode? Or is that not what they're going for with it? Because I think there's just so much potential. And making it like a roguelike experience, where there's a reason to come back and you learn stuff each time and you're pushing for a higher difficulty. And again, maybe the PvE endgame will help out with this, but it's more about, I think, you don't want that experience just to be the endgame. It'd be great if that could impact the whole run, because I'm sure only a certain percentage of the players are going to make it to the endgame. Not everyone who plays games like this really play it to hardcore grind it. Like, it would not surprise me if there are a lot of more casual players out there who are just kind of leveling their handful of mercenaries they like, and they're doing a couple bounties every other day or something. Like, they're taking it super duper slow, and I think that's the audience they initially expected to get more of, which is why they were kind of surprised that so many people just blitzed through the content super fast. But it really does feel like the game is kind of not sure of what it's trying to be fully. It's going in a few different directions, and I think they need to kind of refine that and make it more clear, because we've talked about before player perception stuff, and a lot of that is rooted in, well, when people don't know what the game is exactly trying to be and the game's not making that very clear, people default to what they want it to be, right?
Yeah.
And that's not always going to be the same way that
another video game.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so it's hopefully we can see in the future some clarification. And I mean, I'd love for it to develop in that way, because I want a reason to play PvE with a bunch of these maxed characters that I don't really have interest in using in PvP in the current form. Like, it'd be cool if I could go grab a beast team with Rexxar or an orc team or a demon team, and I had a reason to do that, and it actually presented unique and interesting gameplay. But in the current form, there's just no reason to do that. I'm actively handicapping myself, and as someone who has basically the full max thing, there's not even a reason for me to do it if I didn't just enjoy watching the demons beat up on some PvE guys. Yeah. Like, that's pretty much it. So we definitely need to see some more expanse in that way, I think.
Maybe they force you to play beasts, right? They say, like, you can only do this if this is your comp. And they say, like, when you load this dungeon, this is your comp, right?
That's kind of like the events, right?
The
events are already like the events, but they don't
give you a choice. Yeah, they're trying to. That's a good point. They're kind of like halfway there with the events saying, like, hey, there's an incentive to do it this way.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think because of how collecting works too, it's like kind of hard to put a restriction in like that. Like, we saw a huge amount of controversy when it changed from unlocking a heroic item required task 7 on a character to doing heroic bounties, because a lot of players had a much harder time with some of these bounties, especially if they didn't already have a very established collection and the boss required some very specific mercenary to do it easily. Like, people were upset. It's a tricky thing to find a balance, because you don't want to alienate more new or more casual players, but you also want to have there be depth there for the people who are playing a lot of the game. That's a tricky balance to find, I'm sure. I think we're just going to talk a little bit about the tier list, and that'll probably wrap it up for this one, but... it's been a really good discussion. Kind of a slower news week because we're waiting for the C'Thun event to hit to try him out. We're waiting for supposedly some more smaller balance changes, buffs coming with 24.2. The Battlegrounds update, that'll probably be sometime later on this month. Sounds like Standard is getting some balance tweaks, and they hinted that Alignment is finally getting hit. Hallelujah. Yeah. Screw that card. But that sounds like that's going to be coming out next week, early next week. Do not expect any mercenary stuff in that, because the balance updates for Standard are usually very small patches just focused around the balance updates. Mm-hmm. And then the 0.2 patch should have some buffs. And then obviously the 0.4 will be the mini set and when we get our next big mercenaries drop.
Another Christmas.
Yeah, so I'm excited for that one, especially because I really do think they did a generally really good job with this last one. I think my only complaint is some of the Nagas weren't the greatest, so it didn't feel overly Sunken City themed. Like, about half of the Nagas were good. The Queen showed up a bunch, and that felt
crazy
thematic and good because she was like one of the main faces of the set, so that kind of makes sense. And then now, a little bit later on in the meta cycle, we do have a pretty powerful and popular Naga comp, which is really cool. Lord Slitherspear saw a little bit of tech play because he could just delete summons, so when people were trying out the big snake build, he was starting to see a little bit of bench play, and that was kind of funny. But Zajara and Slitherspear as well, except for relatively recently as the weird tech, they just didn't really see a ton of play, and a full Naga comp didn't really work out like we theorized could have worked with the making like a big Ashara and stuff. So I do hope that with the next drop, that if they do go all in, I don't think they'll go all in on a theme the same way they did Nagas, but I do hope that they make the characters from the new expansion a bit more playable than some of the Nagas were, because, like, I really like the most recent expansion. I've actually been playing quite a lot of Constructed recently. I uploaded some wild videos for the first time forever. I've just been having a lot of fun with the format. The new cards were way more impactful than I expected them to be, and I think they had a more positive impact and a more broad impact on the format compared to Sunken City. Sunken City like added just like a handful of decks and enhanced a few decks. It also broke the game
about the rotation,
for right? a little like, bit.
Everything else left.
Well, in Wild, there was no rotation.
Right, yeah.
But they broke the game a little bit because they, because of rotation, they unnerfed old Kael'thas, and that card was busted as hell. And that got reverted because it was way too good. Druid could kill you on like turn two or turn three. It was really, really silly. But now there's new Kael'thas, who is basically minion Kael'thas, and I actually tried this combo out in Wild, and it was pretty sick. But seeing a lot of play in Standard, you can Bran into new Kael'thas, and that will be two minions, so your next minion is free. And they're just spamming the new Sire Denathrius, who has that battle cry and lifesteal, and it's pretty nuts. Like, nobody expects the extra large Reno Paladin to have, like, 20 burst damage or something.
Oh, like, that's pretty sweet. That Denathrius card is apparently something else.
He's nuts. Right, like, and
lifesteal on him.
He's like a lifesteal so Cthulhu. Okay.
Yeah.
Lifesteal like Cthulhu.
Like, if the trigger had lifesteal, that would honestly be fine. But the fact that it's like then a 10 or whatever that you can't trade into, it's just wild. Crazy.
And usually the battle cry just ends it too, because it either kills the opponent or you heal so much they just don't have a chance, even if they kill the Denathrius. It's nuts too in Reno decks, because like if you're running Renathal, you're starting at 40 HP too, and it's just like it's insane. It's really fun. Cool. I went
honestly, Wild seems like the place to be right now. Like I played a little bit of Standard, and I honestly like I looked at almost most of the new cards and like most of the new decks, and I was just like, none of these seem interesting to me. Like it's probably just me. It's just my player profile being like out of the scene for a little bit, but like. Mm-hmm. I think Wild is getting only closer and closer to be like the cool place to go and like actually experiment. Right now, it seems like experimentation is at a weak point, or even just again, like this like fun variance of directions to go. Like combo rogue, like I played that like miracle rogue deck for a little bit. It's like, it's hard. It's like, it's fun in that hard loan sharky way, but like, it's not, I don't know. It's not for me, but apparently Wild seems like a banger. So I suggest that.
Yeah, I definitely recommend it. I think the format's in a pretty good place. There are still some degenerate things, but that's going to just be what happens.
That's wild,
and, you know, you just kind of accept that going into it. But you also do degenerate things.
Some of it,
so, yeah it's I've really been enjoying it. Like, I fully upgraded. I had a 40... It's a 40-card Reno Paladin, and it's the most fucking whale deck you've ever seen. When I post the code... Donkey has like a little abbreviation thing, and it shows the color for the card rarity, and like half the deck it's just an orange square.
Yeah,
like it's awesome. A 22 legendary deck.
Jeez. I mean, yeah, that's a dream, right? Like ever since Hearthstone's been around, people have been like, when can we make like a 30 legendary deck, right? And so now
it's close.
Now 40,
it's close. And the funny thing is, a lot of the legendaries are ones that were like a lot of the free ones, or the ones in the tracker in there too. It has like four diamond cards. It's crazy. I put up because I climbed a pretty relatively early legend with Reno Priest is playable again too, because Reno Priest just got a bunch of weird beef support, and it's kind of sick and disgusting, but like my kind of disgusting, where you can use like Lucia or some of these other cards with this new legendary, where whenever you play a card you copied from your opponent, you steal their copy, and that it steals it from wherever it is. So if it's on the board,
from your hand to put it in. Oh, geez. Okay.
If it's on the board, you just get it on your side. I saw someone steal a quest line today before it was completed. So, like, they literally just played the quest line with the legendary out, and it just nabbed it right off the opponent's hero.
That's cool.
Like,
they're finally taking this, like, so cool. steal your stuff, discard you, like, Thoughtseize you effect. Finally now entering Hearthstone. That's cool.
It's really fun, like, and it doesn't even run the old total combo kill of, you used to have that Inspire minion that dealt 4 to each hero whenever you hero-powered. It doesn't even run that anymore, because you don't need it to win. You're just, you have enough value, and a lot of the times, because decks in Wild are relatively combo-centric, if you just steal their combo piece or you like screw up their combo in some way, they just are gonna lose.
Yeah.
Like I and that new card Theotar is insane.
Like, yeah, the look at their hand, the actual straight up just neutral Thoughtseize or whatever, right? Just like
so you don't get a look. Yeah, you just get a look at the three, and then you replace. But oh my god, it's so nuts when you're playing against something like a Mechathune combo deck, and it's just like, yep, I'll just take that Mechathune. You can have my Renathal. I hope you enjoy that 3/4. It's just like, oh my god, it's disgusting.
Yeah, and I'm glad that card is good enough. That seems like aggressively costed enough. Like
it's very
and again another effect that people have been looking for, asking for so long. Like that type of disruption has been lacking from Hearthstone.
It's yeah, it's really cool. I know not everyone's gonna like it, but it's I have a lot of fun with it. Definitely recommend. I'm probably gonna put out. I put out an early expansion decks video for Wild, and it actually did pretty well, surprisingly.
Nice.
So probably gonna showcase some more of those soon. But yeah, enough Wild talk.
Anyways,
definitely check that out though. It sounds interesting because I really do think the format's in a really cool place right now. And they're going to be buffs too, I think, because like 3 or 4 of the classes in Standard are just like dead right now.
Yeah.
A Demon Hunter, Warrior, Rogue, and something else, or I think Paladin, are just like they're all below like 40% win rate or something. Like it's really bad. So hopefully those classes get some help as well, and then maybe that'll have cool Wild implications. But yeah, tier list. So no more S tier. Again, the tier list will be linked in the description. If you want to take a look at it with us, but no more S tier. Trigor got moved down to the A+ because he got bug fixed. So he no longer kind of retaliates against AoE that kills him. Good change. Very good change. Still insanely like powerful, but nice to see it. Ironically, coincidentally, Longjin got like almost the opposite change, and I don't know if this is a bug or if it was a bug fix, but it used to be when you dealt damage to her and she had that skill 2 up where you deal damage back to a random enemy, it wouldn't work if you got the like the killing blow on them. But now it does. It triggers even if you get the kill. So they actually made Longjin better, which is kind of insane because Longjin was already like super cracked. So that's kind of interesting. So that chilling up there. I mean, I don't think anyone is surprised by the characters we have in the A+ tier. I think they're all just so good. They're like core parts of the best comps in the game, and they're a big reason of why those comps are as good as they are. Like you got Valir for the speed, Trigor for the damage, Lokalar for damage, punishing fast stuff, frost scaling, Longjin's got the power bench, Vol'jin's got the speed, Yashiraj just kills things on one, Sylvanas is like your late game carry, same with Bane, Varian helps you like set stuff up, makes dragons viable, Elise is just crazy with the stat buffs and the bleed, and then Ashara with the big damage and the heals, just all crazy powerful characters at the top.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with this. I like the top line a lot. I'm hard pressed to think of anything that kind of should be there that isn't. I think everything else is.
I think the closest one is probably Kazakus, but I do think
he's been missing from action for a little while now.
He's still played in the Shadow comp and some other stuff, but I think he is the least reason why the Shadow comp is so good. Like
true.
He has really good synergy for things like Sylve, and he's a part of the reason why Yashiraj is so good, but I think Yashiraj is also just so good because he's getting that full benefit and doing something crazy powerful, and that's what puts him a little bit ahead of Kazakus for me. But all the characters in A as well are all like I think top tier characters. They just aren't as quite as crazy in terms of power level, but they're still some of the highest power level characters in the game. Like Reno's been really good. We have the other Frost characters in there. Leroy's been crazy in this meta because there've been so many blues because of Shadow. Yulon's buff recently totally made that character way more viable. Cookie's seeing a bit more play for the health buff. And the snipes have been a bit better. Maestra having just a totally unique.
Impressed me.
Yeah, she's sick. Like And I love that we're seeing more from the bench action and stuff with characters. I think that's really, really great. Because we didn't see much of that for a while, and now we're seeing quite a bit of it. It's funny to me seeing we put Diablo and Sinestra down into the B tier, and just for anyone who didn't see the tier list video, basically how the tiers work, A and A plus are like your all-star top meta mercenaries. B is like higher tier, very playable, see a decent amount of play. C is kind of that fringe playable, or some of the characters in C are individually powerful, but they don't have a home right now, or the comp that they're good in is okay, but it's not like super duper strong. It's kind of more middle of the road. And then D is just the unplayable mercenaries.
And, you need a buff.
The D should actually be B for buffs, like, cause, and we were talking about this a bit before the show. If we look down at the D tier, I think there are only two characters down here that are not launch characters, Zajara and Zwen. I think every other character down here, and there are quite a few of them, are launch characters. So
who's like the mightiest that has fallen that's now in D tier? Honestly, Natalie being down there feels bad.
Blink
she
Fox
was just everywhere.
Blink Fox was my answer.
Also so good.
Blink Fox was around for so long and was so, so good. And now I can't remember the last time I've seen a Blink Fox in a comp. It's just, it's not even because it's a bad mercenary. Like, Blink Fox is better than almost every mercenary, I think, in that tier.
And it got buffed too.
Yeah, it did. And, but still, it's just there isn't a arcane focus build that's caring about what it does right now. Arcane is really a bench comp and their slots are kind of full. Occasionally you see the random Milhouse in there, but it's just not really good. I did put Milhouse up in C tier because you do see him there sometimes and he does kind of piggyback off of the power of Longshan, but I think he almost always is making that comp worse.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of the later abilities that started to get like 1 and 2 cooldowns in the later designs, like the 2022 characters, actually had quite fast speeds already. And so Mana Blink kind of lost a lot of its equity. Like, you're not Mana Blinking Fire Stomp with Diablo anymore, right? Like, you're not actually getting that like huge value outside of the arcane range of Blink Fox either, like you used to. Like, if anything, Blink Fox saw the most play as a really cool tech sideboard card, essentially, or just like a part of this like back half combo card, some of the earliest ones with the Diablo Cairn era, like the first couple of months. But yeah, now it's, if anything, that those later cooldowns have been balanced with being fast naturally, so that kind of gets lost too. Nah, stinks.
And Blink Fox did get nerfed a bit too, because I guess long ago when you would copy an ability with their copy skill, you would, I think it would always be off cooldown. And now it doesn't work that way. If you it can copy something that's on cooldown, which is a huge whiff, which frankly, I think it is better for balance, because you could always put on the item that makes it copy their last thing potentially. But for more guaranteed
stuff. That
was normal
for the longest time.
Yeah, it was Blink Fox RNG felt so bad to lose to sometimes. Like, they were just, oh, you just got my best skill and you did it faster than me. Cool. Like, you could have gotten any of these other skills that wouldn't have helped you at all, but you got that one. And that always frustrated me. I know some people really liked it, but it would be cool to see Blink Fox come back with a more purposeful role in an arcane comp. But that's a comp that, again, a lot of the comps right now in terms of pure typing, they need more support. And that's one of the reasons Shadow and Frost have been like two of the top comps. Shadow has just got an absurd amount of support
just
because of the
printing
old gods.
It never stopped.
It's like they kind of were in a box because they couldn't have the old gods be different spell schools. So we've been getting Shadow characters for forever, and I think it's going to feel a lot nicer when we're back to more sporadic events and we can get characters for different tribes. I'm super happy we got our red Murloc, and as we can see in like B tier now, Finley's up there. I put Murky and old Murkai up there, surprisingly, because I think with Finley, they finally have enough critical mass of synergy to be a viable comp. Like, Finley and Murkai together along with either the Murky Summons or the Murky Passive that speeds up your characters once they lose Divine Shield. Like, those are... It just works.
It doesn't just get bodied by a charge?
So, I think that is the one... I think Murlocs do have trouble with the Yashiraj build, but I think against everything else, they're alright. But I've heard somebody talking about how Mutanus was actually decent in the Murloc build for stopping Yashiraj, but the problem is you just get slowed by Vol'jin on turn one, and then you can't block on turn two. I haven't played that one, so I don't really know, but I did play a bit with the Murlocs with Finley, and they did impress me, but they're still a tribe that, like, we need another good red Murloc, and it would be cool to get another good blue one, though. I do have to admit, Murgle was actually kind of impressive, especially with Bane, because they're both nature and they both care about the healing. I had some games where I got to insane late game healing potential because I would have heal power with Bane, and then Murgle would just have a big heal effect, and it would also give my Murlocs health. So they just kept healing and then scaling the healing, and like, I beat a Sinestra because the Sinestra just couldn't deal enough damage to me. Because I just kept healing up with Bane and Murgle and then scaling up the heal power. Heal power is a crazy mechanic. I really like it, and I think we're going to see more of it in the future because it's very, very powerful.
I like it. That's the type of defensive tools, right, that the game has been so focused around just deleting you that I think pushing healing like that is a good idea.
Yeah, and healing is always at a disadvantage because you need to have taken damage to actually get value from your healing. So the bar is a lot higher. So I do think they do need to push it in some way for it to actually, because there's a reason you aren't seeing Velen and Anduin seeing play in PvP because the healing they do is minuscule compared to the damage output right now. It's just, you're not healing enough. And I thought Murgle wouldn't be healing enough too. Like, Murgle's passive has actually been really good, where when one of your Murlocs takes 20 or more damage, you heal for like 6. Well, especially if you get heal power on that, you start healing off like half of the damage.
Like damage reduction for your Murlocs, basically.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. I really have to say I'm much more impressed with the Murgle buffs than I thought I would be. Like, I have him in C tier because I think he only works in the Murloc comp. And he's low not key, quite as strong as, like, I think old Murkai and Finley are definitely the backbone of the Murlocs. Like, they're both really strong and they have good synergy together because you can use Finley to buff himself up, and then you can have Murkai swing in and then force your Murlocs to swing in. You can just like delete something on one. It's actually really cool. So it makes me hopeful for more like tribes in the future, because we have so many cool tribes in this game. They just don't have support right now. Like,
yeah, and if it only took one, it really only just took rework, tweaking a couple and one new guy. And Murlocs is not bad. Like, you can see, let's get that. Yeah, for demons, let's get that for.
Yeah, like, make these. Like, you have so many cool tribes that just aren't viable right now. Like, orcs, beasts.
Beasts would be a good one.
They don't work. Holy is kind of fringe workable, but none of the old school holy characters are good enough. Like, it would be so.
And they tried.
Cool.
They just gave us like two or three holy guys, like thinking that it was maybe enough, like Urel and Tyrael or whatever.
Just, and they're good. It's just they can't carry it on their own. They need another good like holy red. And Uther's okay, but he doesn't benefit from the stat buffs as much, even though he's a bit better now that he's been buffed and changed to a red. It just feels like we just need more options to choose from. Like, give me the option Shadow has, but for every other comp in the game. Let me actually have
or get
more
rid of decisions. Bulgin's Ring of Ace.
Why not both? Right?
Yeah, why not? Exactly. Deal.
Yeah, like Vol'jin. Yeah, Vol'jin. I think at some point they're going to have to take an axe to Vol'jin, Valyra, and to a lesser extent, Edwin. I think they're going to realize at some point down the line that, hey, speed manipulation's fine, it's an interesting part of the game, these characters do it way too well and they do it way too free. So I think that, I like speed manipulation, but they're just all way, way too good at what they do. And
especially compared to
there's no cost, right?
Malfurion has, like, you have to cast a spell, and then it's, like,
Malfurion's the way to do it.
Really active all the time. Yeah, Malfurion.
Or slow
is, like,
your opponent for next turn with like the Bane or not Bane, the Karen AoE. Like those were interesting ways to do speed manipulation that actually required you to take an action. Valyra, yep, you're doing which.
Zero.
Yeah, Valyra, you're doing what she wants to do anyway. Vol'jin, he just exists and it happens. And same with Edwin, even though Edwin doesn't affect himself, still really good. So I think all three of those characters are definitely on a long-term kind of suspect list where if they ever do a larger amount of balancing, of toning down characters in some way or reworking, those are three abilities that I could see being changed because they just get crazier and more dangerous the more characters get added to the game, especially characters like Valyra, who you don't have to, it doesn't matter if you're a shadow, it doesn't matter if you're a pirate, like, you don't have to, they can't even balance around that like they can for shadow and pirates, like, any character can get sped up by Valyra. So, definitely a scary thing for the long term, but overall, I'm pretty happy with the tier list. I do think that some of these characters in C tier really do have a lot more potential. It's just the metagame is not right for them right now. Like, I think Patches is a really good card in Pirates, but the better version of Pirates is the space is just so tight. It's hard to find room for everything you would want to have it and getting those big buffs. I mean, Thrall's even down in C tier. Thrall used to be an all-star, but now he's not getting sped up as much. Now we have way more good red answers to problematic greens, and that was kind of what Thrall did, right? He was your Sinestra killer, or Sylvanas killer, and now we have other ways of doing that. So even though he's good, orcs aren't really good right now, so he's not seeing play. Same with Galvengar. Galvengar was like the backbone of an orc comp, but the orc comp just kind of fell out of favor. It can't compete with things like Yashiraj on three speed.
Yeah, Lokalar into Yashiraj was just the extinction event for orcs. Back to back months or whatever it was. So.
And they're trying to bring nature back, it seems, with some of these buffs like Demurgle and Brightwing, and I have seen a bit more, and Anacondra specifically. Yeah. That was a really good one. So I like that, and I really do hope we can see more of these characters in the D tier get buffs to really help give a backbone to some of these tribes, because even if some of these tribes get support, and from looking at some of the data mined mercenaries from early on in the game's life cycle, there are a fair amount of orcs that exist in the game that we have not gotten yet. So I would not be surprised if we see some of those in the next big drop, but I just don't know what orcs need right now to kind of get to that level where they're going to be a meta relevant player.
I've always liked orcs having that, like, being the disruption heavy style class, and that, or that kind of deck in that way, and like the Grom style, like the really good muddy footing. So maybe they could find a way. I mean, Galvengar was kind of that, right? Where it was like, we're going to do that, but with adding cooldowns, that was still strong, but they need to kind of have that literally, like that thought sees you, that like look at your hand and take away a card effect needs to go into orcs somehow to make orcs, I think, good enough. But again, is that effect just way too toxic too quickly? It starts to get scary in mercenaries, and we're already talking about maybe bemoaning the number of choices that you have in some of these opening plays. So we'll see. But I think you're right. Nerfs are really maybe the biggest thing that will pull everything together. If you don't have a board-wide speed up, even since the dawn of the game, you've kind of been on the back foot.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was, if you remember very, very early on, there was a beast comp that was like kind of okay, and you were doing like crazy things with King Crush in turn one. It's kind of like launch Yashiraj, except less powerful. But the problem was that you would kill two of your opponent's mercenaries usually, and when you did that, they got a switching Karen Diablo on you, and you usually had a summon up, so you had four units, and all your units weren't that fast. So Karen would speed up, Diablo would AoE, your whole board would get blown out, and then Diablo was big, and you just lost. And King Crush never evolved past that. Like, he got shut down in the beginning, and now even in the absence of Karen Diablo in most comps, he just isn't at the power level needed to really do something, which sucks because he's a really cool character. Like, we have a bunch of cool characters down here. We have Gul'dan, Rexxar, Anduin, Antonidas, like tons of really neat characters here. Jiraxxus, the demons, mm-hmm. like, I want to mess around with these characters. They seem really fun, but they just need more buffs like we got with, like, do what they did to Anaconda and Brightwing to, like, all of these characters.
Yep.
Like, they just need to be brought into the 21st century, because they are not there right now, and it sucks because it's a pretty sizable amount of characters. Like, it's like 30, it's like a quarter of all the characters.
Yeah, 60. The other 60 are in C and D tier.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's more than half. And obviously, they're always going to be best characters, right? Like, there's always going to be a best deck. That's just something natural in these type of games, and best characters make sense. But and this is better than it was. At least we don't have...
this distribution's not the worst.
Like, no, it definitely could be a lot worse.
Four out of the top couple of tiers and fill out the rest with some people. And that deck is fine and good. And yeah, it... from the very far away, when you squint and look at it, the distribution of where these characters fall in these tier lists is pretty balanced.
It seems reasonable, right? Like, it's like 4 out of 10 mercenaries are, like, really good in PvP. So almost half. But again, a big part of that is just because of how power has changed in the game. So there's no reason we have to have 50 mercenaries or even 30 mercenaries that are just laughably, unplayably bad. Like, by making them good, you're going to make hopefully more choices and whatnot interesting, and decision making and team building and stuff like that. But at the same time, as we saw with Trigor, you got to be careful what you wish for, because I don't think any of us want Jiraxxus 2.0 Trigor edition. Like, because
three-headed Jiraxxus,
and that's something I won't go too much into this, and that's something worth thinking about too, because when we were talking about the release cadence and how 4 months is a long time between big drops, that's when the meta is good. What happens if we get another Trigor meta? Like, we had that for 2 months, and let me tell you, that was fucking miserable.
Dead. That was, like, the worst 2 months probably of the competitive.
Yeah, that was the least I played Mercs in the whole time since release. That was the first time I stopped playing PvP for a significant amount of time. And right now, like, I could totally go and jam some PvP games, and I would have a good time, most likely. Because I like a lot of the comps that are powerful and available, and it's far from perfect, but it's so much better than it was back then. But what if, you know, we get another character like that and one of these big drops, and then we're stuck with it for 4 months, and their only way to deal with it is maybe buff something else like they did with Yulon, and it just feels like a little bit of a slippery slope. So we got to be careful what we wish for too. Like, I think they did a great job with balancing and upgrading characters the last time around, though. So that does give me some confidence. But like we saw with Trigor, it only takes one mistake to have a very, very significant impact. Because most of the buffs we got in Trigor, in the Trigor buff patch, were either inconsequential or they were solid and made the character decently better, but not oppressive. Like, Tyranda became a real character in that patch, which was really cool. But Trigor just got way too much juice. Like, he became the just too much. So hopefully we won't see that out of upcoming buffs. But maybe once we have the coin fixes and other stuff, maybe then they can finally be a little less hard pressed with nerfing stuff. I do think the format of the game naturally is going to make them a bit more conservative about nerfing stuff, because it also does impact PvE, and not just PvE players, but also PvE encounters. We saw that when Trigor was buffed, it actually buffed a PvE fight and made it much harder, which is, so that's something it's easy to forget about, but we do have to think about sometimes, is how that impacts some of the decisions made here. But yeah, really pretty happy with the tier list. If you want to check it out, link will be in the description. I'll have a link to the video as well if you want to hear some more in-depth thoughts about it. But meta's in a pretty neat spot. Hope we see some more positive changes in the future for some of the bad characters. But we're really just waiting for the next content to be added, and eventually that next big drop. I have to prepare for that next big drop when it happens. I was not fully prepared last time. And let me tell you, it was overwhelming. Like, I don't know how Old Guardian did it, getting all the the bounty videos out, because there were so many, like, and I want to do better about that for next time, but gosh, it is hard. There's just so much content to, so it's great when it comes out, but I think you were onto something, Mulhu, saying, like, maybe every other month is a better target for the mode to keep a longer period of stagnation, because still, let's say what, like, we'll round up to 20 mercenaries for the first big drop. If they just just did 10 every 2 months, that would still have a huge, huge impact on the metagame and the community and everything. And it would, I think, like, having a whole month or two to just digest that, and then there's more, like, I think that just seems like a perfect middle ground between where they started and where they're at now. And I don't know if that's something we can realistically expect them to do anytime soon, but we're talking about it now, so hopefully that maybe you can get the the idea ball rolling, and maybe in the future that's something they can consider whenever they evaluate how they're going to be doing their releases for maybe next year or something like that, because they obviously plan very far in advance for a lot of this stuff. Like, would not surprise me that all the new mercs are already done and the mini sets probably already done. It's just going through final approval processes and stuff, like, because they work pretty far in advance for quite a lot of this stuff, as far as I understand.
A lot of card games tend to, even years in some cases in advance. So,
yeah,
probably got them ready to go.
And especially when you have multiple platforms that you're releasing on, like iOS and stuff, you have to really get your ducks in a row to localization and all that. It's a lot. So, but yeah, I think that is going to wrap it up for this episode of the Fighting Pit podcast. Before we go, I thought would be an interesting question. So we obviously do have the next big drop coming up in a little while, but before that, I think we're expecting maybe to get one event, at least one more event for maybe September. Before the drop sometime in October. Wanted to ask you, Mal, who would you like to see now that we're past the old gods? Who is a character you would like to see show up as an event mercenary now that the potential for that is pretty much unlimited again? And I know that one of my favorite things that they've done with the events is I love the fact that we always get the diamond portrait for doing the 10th thing, and it's such a great thing,
the diamond,
because they're so hard to get normally. It's great that everyone has a chance to get these, especially for iconic characters like Leroy and C'thun and all the old gods. So is there any character that you really like that is not in Mercs right now who you'd love to see be kind of the focus of an event
of the beginning? So I'm thinking of, like, what would I want? Like you said, the old gods are done, right? So what are we going to begin a new chain of a lot of different ones? Or sorry, a new chain of a lot of shared types like this? Or is it going to start to be a lot of unique ones? I would probably assume that it's going to be another, like, block of types. And so honestly, I'm going to vote for Ysera and go, let's give us the big dragons and put Ysera in as the next nature legendary and start getting, like, add the Ysera, add the Malygos, add, like, get them in there to start buffing up some of the different kind of, like we said, the archetypes that might still need a legendary or two to make it really good and to adjust up into a new scale. So I'll say let's hit us with the dragon brood, the dragon flights there, and we'll start with Ysera so we can have some nature house back in the game.
I like it. Supporting nature, supporting dragons, both two really good and fun tribes that could also use a little bit of support. Not the worst tribes, but definitely more support would not hurt. So, and I just love Ysera as a character. Like, if I had to pick a dragon, it's 100% Malygos. Malygos is my favorite dragon, and he could also be potentially more arcane support. So that could be cool to see. I would definitely like to see him. I think we'll get both of them in Mercenaries at some point.
Especially when they've started us out already on, like, we have the Deathwing, we have the Onyxia,
we have a lot of,
like,
them.
For a lesser one, so we have the Alexstrasza already, so that, to me, that sounds like a pretty clear, like, oh, we've got 3/5 ready to go, let's just round out the cycle, especially that will take us basically right up until when the PvE system changes, maybe we go full dragons and that, I know some of the WoW IP and stuff is in Dragonland style right now.
Yeah, so they could be saving that, right? Like, they could be... I don't know when the WoW expansion launches. I think it's later on in the year. But they could be saving that for the next... even the one after that. Be like, hey, we had all this dragon-themed stuff in WoW. Boom! Dragon mercs drop. So that could make sense. One character I'd really like to see, I don't know the odds of it happening, are either Mal'Ganis or Rafahm.
Mal'Ganis would be a cool way to make demons good, yeah.
Yeah, like, Mal'Ganis was one of my favorite characters ever in, like, old-school Hearthstone. Like, getting out that big 9-7 that made your hero immune and buffed all your other demons. Like, something sweet like that, like, synergizing with demons and making them better would be a really, really cool character to have in an event. So he's one I'd love to see. Or even Rafahm. Like, we have the League of Explorers, now let's get the League of Evil. Like, that would
that's
be
a perfect one too.
Like, can you imagine having an Explorers versus League of Evil showdown in Mercenaries? That'd be super fun. And then you could have old gods too. And I think there's really a lot of room to capitalize on potential there, because I think some of the people who play Mercenaries, they play it because maybe they're bored of the current meta in Standard or Battlegrounds or whatever, and they just want something else to do. And they know these characters. They have, like, positive feelings or associations with a lot of these characters. And it's like, hey, I want to just destroy things with the Explorers or Rafahm or whoever. And I think that is partially their intention of what they wanted to do with Mercenaries. Like, give... Hearthstone's very much about that kind of giving players something else to do. In the waiting time for their main mode, like having like a side mode. And I think this has a lot of potential to be that now that they've slowly been making it a lot more accessible. Still have a ways to go, obviously, but it sounds like they're going in the right direction. I mean, the fact that we're even getting some kind of coin exchange is a step further than I thought we would ever get.
Huge. this quote unquote fast, quickly, if they do give it to us soon.
Yeah, well, before the end of the year, right? So sometime in the next 4 months, we should get it.
I think it's October. I think it's a guess.
I think it's October, too. It would just make sense, but you never know with Blizzard. Sometimes they have to push stuff back. But I don't think they would have said it's coming this year just to backtrack on it this late in the year, because they already did that with the end game. So I think they would have been, and they saw the backlash about that. So I think they would have been conscious about, let's not say this unless we're sure it's actually coming this year, because the last thing they want to do is generate more bad press around the mode. The launch already had a great job of doing plenty of that. So improving, cool events we would like to see. But that is pretty much going to wrap it up for us this time. We'll be back next week talking about C'Thun, the event, all that stuff. I think... By the time we record, the event should be at the end or close to the end, depending on when we do the recording thing. But C'Thun will be out, and so we'll have some stuff to talk about then. And maybe we'll take some viewer questions or something like that. Maybe we'll do another live episode, something like that. So stay tuned for that, as always. But we do very much appreciate you tuning in to this episode. And if you enjoyed it, do remember to like, subscribe, follow, share, all that good stuff. And that will do it for episode 29 of The Fighting Pit. Big 3-0 coming up next one.
There it is.
But thanks so much for watching. We'll catch you in the next one.
Peace. Be safe.